So welcome to our fifth session of Shaping Your Destiny. I will be here moderating with Eliyahu Yardeni. And we shared this last time. And I think part of the style that we wanted to go through today is what would it look like if two Kabbalah teachers were studying on a deep level this wisdom? Content that maybe most people are not exposed to. And in fact, that is the case because I have here in my hand translations of the Zohar, what's called the Sulam of the Zohar, parts of the Zohar that we do not have in English, but I have here. And we will throw up some passages and try to dissect them. And they are deep. I sat with Eliyahu a little bit before this session to kind of open up these concepts. We struggled with how to make them practical, but we will find a way. And I think that what many students don't have as much of and that they do appreciate is deeper content, especially as it's studied and dissected in front of you. And a lot of today, we're going to talk about the practical understanding of the shofar and what's happening on a soul level. Let's kick it off. Eliyahu, if you want to start with some consciousness and we can do a little back and forth and go from there.
Okay, so the words that you're saying that these six sessions are about changing your destiny, right? Changing something in our cassettes. So these are very big words because the truth is that when you look at the life that we're going through, there is so many things that are really, really hard to change. Let's say you have certain people that just hate you. Whatever you're going to do, you cannot like change their mind. They hate you. And if they will try to hurt you, you will need to protect yourself. There is no other way because there is certain things that it looks impossible to change. And also, I mean, there's many, many things. Like, for instance, if you're talking about the height, I mean, I would like to be higher, taller. Then I cannot change these things, right? The color of my eyes. I can do certain things that I'll look different, but there's so many things that it's hard to change. And when you talk about changing our life, we're getting older, or you're changing our life because it's something in the relationship is not working at work, changing things in our lives that will improve like the way that I understand things. Maybe my memory is not the same, or maybe I'm not able to understand certain concepts that others understand faster. There are so many things that looks hard, or politics, right? You try to change relationship between countries. It's impossible. It's like, it looks like so difficult. And to be successful in business, I mean, there is time to time some people that's standing out with success, but usually it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. I mean, you're going to a therapist for years to try to improve yourself, to become a better person, to improve your relationship. It's not an easy thing. So why it's so hard? Okay? Why it's so hard? Why it's so difficult? Is there is a way to change it? That's what it's called in the Zohar language, din kashe, a very harsh judgment, very strong judgment. There is this like physicality that's stopping us. The question is, can we change it? So I don't remember what we talked about. It was in the center in New York. There is one student that told me, yes, it's so difficult to change it. So I said, it's true. It's not difficult. It's impossible to change it. But the Creator can change it, which means we cannot change it. When you say we, means we with our limited power, we without the Creator, we as human, with our amazing intelligence, you know, that we come up with solution to other people, etc. But when it comes to our own problems and our own, you know, like blind spots that we have, it's very difficult to see how to change things. We cannot change. We cannot overcome our blind spot. We cannot, but the Creator can, which means that the Source can change everything. And if we connect with the Source, we can change everything. The biggest opportunity to do that, it's really Rosh Hashanah. And when I said the biggest, you know, there's different ways how to you know, to talk about things, to make things important. But this is like something that we need to understand. This is the day that humanity was created. But there's a reason why we were created on that day. There's special, very special energy in that day. Plus, in that day, we fall into the limitations that we have harsh judgment all the time. We have this difficulty to change. It's in that day too, which is the sin of Adam, which we talked about it before. But what it means that we can in that day, more than any other day, to make the change, but the major thing about this day, it's secrets. Without the secrets, we are incapable to make it happen. We need the secrets. This is the day of the secrets. In order to make change, we need to get the secrets of Kabbalah. We need to take the secrets of life. You know, we call it Kabbalah, but it doesn't matter the label. It's the secrets of life. We need to understand the depth of it. And this is the old secrets of Shofar. Is about the secret of life.
I want to bring up a little bit about this day since you talked about the harsh judgment. I think you spoke once also about judgment comes when a person receives. Right? I give this analogy sometimes that when you go to the bank, actually you gave this analogy, I'm using your analogy. When you go to the bank and you ask for a loan, they judge you. Right? And the more money you ask for, the more judgment you get. The more documents you have to provide, the more proof of X, Y, Z. There's a difference between a $500 loan and a $5 million loan. So this is the day where all the light of Chokhmah, which is translates as the light of wisdom, is received for our soul for the whole year. So that's why it's a day of harsh judgment. Correct?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Which means that this analogy is a very simple analogy, but we also intuitively understand it because, you know, when we are, for instance, you asking something from the other person, the relationship, automatically that other person, this other person is asking from you something, right? If you tell a person you're doing this and this wrong and you should change it, so automatically this person will retaliate and start to tell you what you need to change too. It's always like that. It's with the bank and everything else. This is the day, as you were saying, that we get the energy for the year. We call it the energy of life. The energy of life. What is the energy of life? We call it the energy of wisdom. That's how we call it, okay? Now, there is four levels in the energy of wisdom. Four levels. The first level is to survive. In order to survive, we need to have wisdom. Yes? Which means that there is no one on earth that can survive without wisdom. Let's say you need to have some memory. Yes? To remember things. You need to know certain things. You need to have an occupation, a job. Something that will contribute to society so you can justify why to be paid and to live your life, etc. So there is a minimum things. And this is like for all the masses, the 8 billion people that living on earth needs, in order to survive, they need to have certain amount of wisdom. Then if you want more, let's say the extra pleasure that the body can get, more money and more comfort, homes, cars, things that makes life even better, not just the necessity. This is the second level, which is usually the people that become real more successful, richer, etc. And you also need wisdom for that. You cannot become rich or successful without certain wisdom. You need to have wisdom, that's for sure. The third level, if you want to be powerful and respected in society, you have to have more wisdom. Yes, it's like it's the third level, right? You have to have more wisdom. You know, people that are in power, obviously, to get there, their experience, their what they're going through, okay, the challenges, etc., eventually bringing them certain wisdom so they can control, they can become respected, become known. This is definitely, you need a lot to have a lot of wisdom for that. Okay, the third level. But all these three levels are equivalent to the object, inanimate. How do you say it usually? Objects, inanimate.
Yeah,
kingdom,
inanimate, vegetative, animal,
vegetative
and human.
Kingdom. Animals and humans. So all these three, it's that the lower, it's not the human kingdom itself. The wisdom itself, it's the light of wisdom itself. It's the wisdom that giving a person the internal world. Because you can survive, you can have money and pleasure for the body, and you can have a lot of power and respect, and still internally you're unhappy. Internally, you not feel satisfied. There is something missing still, because internally you don't understand the secrets of life. We don't see. We don't have the visions. We don't have consciousness. Means visions, ideas, understanding of the whole picture, connecting with superpower that is not dependent on anything external. Which means, regardless of what's happening externally, I can still keep myself in a place where I don't feel pain like morphine, and I enjoying all kind of amazing trip like people try drugs for that, etc. But this is like to be in that place, in that realm, okay, see things and see the truth, okay, which is the world above time, space and motion. This is the real wisdom. The real wisdom is to go above the physicality.
So this
and
is the fourth it, level. You're talking now about the
fourth
level.
That's the fourth level. And
what do we call
like
this?
Away.
What do we call this? If the first level is basic survival, which there are people who just, you know, basically want to survive. They don't have a bigger desire than that. Then we have the bodily pleasure. You know, we all want to go on nice trips and we want to have nice things and nice clothes and the basic comforts of life, luxuries in many ways, not survival. Yeah. Like, I don't need this to survive, but it's a luxury. The third level is the aim for it to be respected. People who build companies, people who trying to build to go outer space, people who want to actually get into politics and have power. This is the third level. And each of these levels, you're saying, is a revelation of a higher level of light of wisdom.
That, absolutely.
That also, which we didn't talk about, the only way to reveal is by a level of restriction. So we have to
That's the next step. But
that's
first,
the next step. So I just want people to know
step.
That.
First to talk about, to understand, like an animal, let's say a lion, to survive, you need to have wisdom. You need to know how to hunt. It has an art of hunting. He cannot survive without this art of hunting. So in the same way, we need to have wisdom for all of these things. But the real level that we are talking about, it's the level when we tap into the world above time, space, and motion, which means we tap to the world that is not affected by the ups and downs in the physicality. It's not affected by the external world. What is above time, which means that yesterday and tomorrow and now is here. It's always here. It never disappear, right? It's not gone. It's a place that you can have tranquility. You can have because you know that the future will be good. The present is good. The past was good too. And there is a level where there is no negativity whatsoever. And so it's called the Atzilut, the world of emanation. It's the noble place of the person. For a human to be nobility, it's to be Atzilut. Rosh Hashanah, it's the biggest opportunity to download Atzilut, nobility. Huge opportunity to bring it so we can be ourselves, what we really are. Okay, because we were born to be noble, to be divine. Okay, but it said in the Torah, which is cosmic code, okay, it said, "Betzelem Elohim bara oto," that we created in the image of God, because this is the creator wants to give us, the biggest gift, it's to give us to become like God, right? So it's like the nobility, this ability to have vision, to have, and so you can also see that a person that just survived has some influence and power towards, let's say, this family, etc. When a person is rich, he has more family that is providing for, etc. When you are powerful, you even more. But when you're connected with the real wisdom, talking about you're actually affecting the whole world, all the whole universe.
Yeah, if you think of someone like Moses who achieved this, his impact and his power with the Torah, with the Bible, is coming until today. It's not like nobody remembers who the 33rd president of the United States was, because he was powerful then, it was good for then, but it's not eternal. But Moses, Abraham, the people who reached the fourth level, the Atzilut, this power is like forever, and it keeps going, it's getting bigger. In fact, the influence is getting even bigger.
That's right. It's influence for all the generation to come, for all the places in the world. Okay, we know the technology was a book, because a book is not limited into one place, right? You can write a book here and people can have it all over the world, and they can have it also the next generation because you can print it. Today we have other tools like a film, etc. But whatever it is, there's no doubt. But I would like to say that it sounds very big. Okay, this is for Moses. What about us, the simple people? So we need to know that the intention originally was that all human, all the 8 billion people will reach the level of a human. Usually we try to bring someone down so we control him. With actually, it's the other way around. We should bring all the 8 billion people to that level. It will happen anyway. But today we are in the age of about to have a breakthrough where the wisdom can actually go to the 8 billion people. So which means that it looks like big things, you know, I'm going above time, space, and motion. What are we really talking about practically? Practically, we are talking about something that already exists. We're already there. Something in us do affect already the whole universe or the whole world. We're already there because we're human, but it's like the internal part of ourselves, so we're not aware of it. We need to develop the processor. You see, it's like a processor. If you don't have a processor, you cannot read what there is in the computer, so therefore you don't see anything on the screen. But if you have a processor, you can. So what we do now, we reveal, we create the processor, okay? We create this processor, and the shofar, it's every day of the year, you have another type of shofar to use. It's not the physical shofar.
Right.
Okay? But
the shofar is the processor, you're saying?
The shofar is the tool that we actually physically use in this 48 hours that's called Rosh Hashanah. So these 48 hours, this is like the opportunity. There is something in this universe that's happening. So
hold on one second. So there's a lot here to unpack. And I want, one thing you said is that the job of mankind, we all fall in these four levels. Some people, it's like the basic level, survival. Some people just for money. Some people for respect, power. And then there's people who are, like when we come to Kabbalah 1 and we say to connect with the light, the consciousness of the light, all the secrets of Kabbalah, it's to help us connect to the fourth level. And by doing so, you get all the levels, right? And I think that's a very powerful thing.
Absolutely. Which means that when a person comes, you know, and he is ready, which means it's resonate within him. When we talk about the Zohar, the Torah, the secrets of Kabbalah, etc., it means that he is already in that wavelength, that he can is capable to download this wisdom, to start the process. Obviously, it's not an easy process. As the time goes by, it will be easier and easier, so more and more people can use it practically. And we can see already it's happening, right, in a big scale.
Yes.
And there is many other, you know, like circuit.
And I want to say, you know, sometimes people come to study Kabbalah because they're going through a relationship, a breakup. They're trying to find a soulmate. They're trying to find ways to build wealth. So really what they're doing is they're using this wisdom, which is meant for the fourth level, to achieve success on the second level or the third level, which is it works, but it's not the intention of this wisdom. And I want to kind of clarify that for all of us, because we all might even be coming to Rosh Hashanah saying, yeah, I want this level one, level two, level three. What we're saying is let's go for level four, which is the intention is for the pure light itself, not for my little things that I want on levels one to three. And by connecting to the pure intention of just level four for the sake of connecting to the light, we will get all the other levels. But don't limit yourself to looking for one of those three levels. Did I say that correctly?
You did, absolutely. I would say that just to make it also understandable in a sense that this is the intention of the Creator, which means the Creator intention, and we start to get closer now to start to talk about the shofar, the intention of the creator, Elohim asa shiru milfanav. That's what's written, right? That's what's written by King Solomon. It said, Elohim asa shiru milfanav. The whole creation, he did that people will have yirah, they will feel God. Okay, that's what it is. Okay, they will feel God. And that's an interesting thing, because you know that Aleph, Rosh Hashanah, it's Aleph Bet Tishrei. The date in the Kabbalistic calendar, it's Aleph, it's one, Bet is two, Tishrei, it's the name of the month.
Of Libra. So it's the first, Aleph Bet Tishrei means the first and second of Libra.
That's right. And it said in the Talmud, it's Yom Ha'arichta. It's like one day with 48 hours. It's another conversation. And basically these letters, Aleph, Bet, Tishrei, it's the same letter of the first word in the Torah, Bereshit. Bereshit, if you write it in another sequence, which is the first word of the whole Torah, it's basically Aleph, Bet, Tishrei. We know that the Zohar, which is the major book of Kabbalah, it's the secrets of the universe, the secrets of life. The only secrets that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wrote was, do you know, David? You know for sure, right?
The only secrets
what he wrote himself with his own right hand, right?
The Tikkuni Zohar are all about Bereshit.
That's right. Tikkuni Zohar, it's 70 explanation. It's few books, okay? It's all about one thing, about the word Bereshit. Just the word Bereshit. Because what is the point? That all secrets about the word Bereshit, it's the beginning, right? It's the source. It's to connect with our source. So basically what it is, Aleph Bet Tishrei, it's Bereshit. It's the opportunity to connect with the source, to reconnect ourselves with the source. Now, what's really going on? What it means that it said, Elohim asa shiru milfanav. The whole point of creation was that we'll achieve yirah. Yirah means that we will feel the Creator. We were born feeling ourselves. We know that we exist. By the way, it's a mystical feeling. It's coming. This is coming from the wisdom, side of ourselves. Okay? It's to feel that we exist. It's not the body, it's not the extra of the body, it's not the power and the respect, it's the source of ours, it's the real desire inside. So we feel that we exist. But to feel that the Creator exists, it's another thing. And to be interested to be with the Creator, it's another thing by itself. Sometimes you feel that someone exists, but it's so powerful, and you want to do certain stupid things that you want to enjoy things that you don't like that this person will see, so you don't want to be with that person, right?
Wow,
so
the same thing sometimes. Whoa, very powerful, very powerful. Number one, it's one thing to feel someone. It's another thing to want to be with someone, because there are maybe a lot of students, myself included, so we're all in the same pot. We want to feel the Creator. We want to know the Creator, but we might be a little embarrassed to be next to the Creator because there's things we still want to do that are embarrassing. We wouldn't want the Creator to see that. You know, that's like, there's things you don't want your Kabbalah teacher to see you're doing, or someone that you respect to see you're doing, but you still like that you have a connection with that person. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very simple thing. I mean, if you want to do certain things that you, in your principle, it's something that you shouldn't do, but you want it so much, you're craving it, you're addicted to it. So you drink a little bit, you get drunk, and then it's okay to do it. I have a good excuse, right? So to get drunk, it can be with actually drinking, can be drugs, can be just like joking and just forgetting everything, you know, forgetting your responsibility, not being conscious. So basically, we don't know, we don't feel that the Creator exists, and we don't wants to be next to the Creator. But when a person reached this level that we talked about, the real wisdom, you know that there is nothing better than the truth. Even though it feels bad for a second, then it feels good forever. And you actually want to be there, because when with this, you can have the biggest pleasure, because the Creator created us to enjoy, but we cannot receive the pleasure till we get to that level. So what's happening is that this is the day that we can download wisdom. What do I mean download wisdom? When we download the wisdom, it doesn't mean that I, you know, when you download something in a computer, in a phone or something, you don't have all the wisdom immediately, but then you read it later on, right? Same thing, you download the wisdom for the whole year, then during the year you're going to reveal all kind of amazing stuff. But when it was revealed, when you download all this wisdom, and when we talk about wisdom, it looks like a kind of a hobby. You know, I like to read this book, it's my pleasure, it's a hobby. It's a survival. We think that to survive, you just need to, the wisdom how to survive, it's life and death and that's it. But the true wisdom, a Kabbalist, look at wisdom as a survival. He's in a survival mode all the time.
So Eliyahu, we talked about this before the class. For people to understand practically wisdom, maybe even on a lower level, you could have a group of people in a company trying to come up with a solution to a problem. And you said this. Then the CEO walks in. And in 5 seconds says, this is what we need to do. He sees the whole playing field. Let's move forward. And he pushes everybody forward and the whole company moves forward. And the difference between a good CEO and a bad one, and the reason why they're paid hundreds of millions of dollars sometimes in these big companies, is because they have access to this prophecy, this vision, this wisdom that nobody else has. I mean, smart people, they don't have access. Is this kind of what you're saying?
Absolutely. This is a good example, even though you're talking here about the lower level, right? Even it's 100 million.
Yeah, it's the wisdom on the lower level.
Small. For a Kabbalist, it's a very small thing. You know what I'm saying? In a sense that the major thing you want to keep yourself there in the world where all the access of all the wisdom in the universe exists. You know, it's not the Google that we have. It's the real Google of you can stop and open any Zohar and you can tap into secrets of secrets, download like amazing things like every second, you know, like it's life. It's you living with a spring of wisdom. The whole point is that the Creator wants to share us all of these things, but He needs us to do something. And I give you an analogy. I don't know if we will have time. Well, the time goes by very fast. But the analogy is it's an analogy that the sages are giving. Rabbi Ashlag talks about it. It's a kind of amazing thing. That basically what it is, it's like if a slave or a servant, okay, a servant is getting a gift. Let's say he opened the door and someone giving him a gift. Then the servant is giving the gift to the king, okay, to his master. Is it considered to be that the slave, slave is not a good word. The servant is giving a gift to the king? What do you think? Absolutely not, right?
Right.
Because he just opened the door. He's everything that people give to this palace, this home, belongs to the master, okay? So the truth is that everything that exists in this world belongs to the Creator, right? He created it. So anything that we get, we cannot give to God because it's His. So someone gives, I get money. I said, God, here, take the money. But what do you mean? Who gave you the money? I gave it. It's mine. Everything is mine, right? So there is one exception. That in the moment, if the king or the master fire the servant, tell him, no, now you're free. You are not my servant. Now the guy gives the gift and he's telling him, listen, the gift is for you. And in that moment, it's his. Then he can give the gift to God. So basically what it is, the whole secret of Rosh Hashanah, that in Rosh Hashanah we get disconnected from God, from the source, from Bereshit. We get disconnected from everything. But why? The only reason is that we will be able to give to God, like to giving back something, to feel freedom of choice, to feel that it's ours. And this is the biggest gift that God gave, is to disconnect us, you see? But we're judging God for that. I mean, you disconnect me, now I have all these problems in my life. But all these problems, including my evil inclination, the negativity that I have, the sadness, depression, addiction, anger, hatred, control, and whatever it is, you know, all the flaws that I have, all of them are the gift of God, the pure gift of God. And it says that Elohim asa shiiru milfanav. The whole creation was that we will feel him. How are we going to feel him? If you don't give to the person, you cannot feel him. You cannot feel, you know, it's like to start to feel and to really want, you need to create the love. How to create the love? How to be able to share? So actually this connection helps us to connect. But how to make the connection? With the shofar. And what is the major point about the shofar? It's like it said that Elijah the prophet, before he told Rabbi Shimon that he has the permission to reveal all the secrets of the Zohar, there is a section in the Zohar that called Patach Eliyahu. Okay, that Elijah the prophet, and he was saying over there, he said, "Ela lishtmoda tukfach vechelach levnenasha." There is energy in the words, so I'm reading it in the Aramaic, in the original language. Everything is just to give the strength and your power to the people, lachzalon, to show them echit neigalma, how the world works. Bedina uverachme, in judgment and mercy. Deinu tzedek umishpat kefum uvadeon divnei nasha, like the actions of human. So the whole creation was that we will be able to choose that we want to feel the Creator and we want to be next to the Creator. He couldn't give it to us, and in the moment that we do that, then he can give us everything. He's allowing us to go to the palace, and the palace is show us all these amazing things, and then with this wisdom, for sure we receive also the other levels, but the major thing, we're staying with the Creator, because where the Creator is going to be? It's not a person that's going to be external in a body level or ego level. It's internal, right? It's we absorb it internally. We absorb the existence of the Creator. So the whole point is that we will be able to feel. So what it is, so the Creator create judgment. It says the judgment, and there is one day, there is an analogy, we can read it in the Zohar, in different places, in Zohar Emor, Zohar Vayikra, there's many places where the Zohar talks about it, and he's telling us that the Creator needed to give the negative side one day, that he can come and come with these claims against the person. And we know that everything that's happening in this physical world is a result of what's happening in the world that we don't see, in the spiritual world. So in the physical world, we know when a person is being judged, what's happening, there is people that claim, they're telling him, you did wrong, and this is, they try to prove the point, this, you did wrong. And then the judge is taking all the evidence and the you know, the prosecution, the defender, everything, he process everything, and eventually he come with a verdict. And then there is the results. So the judgment is always in three levels. One, it's the claims, all the teanot, all the negative things that been thrown towards the person. Second is the actual decision. Third, it's what's happening as a result of the decision. Okay, so
it's the sentencing. You mean
the sentence? Yes. What the verdict means?
The verdict is guilty, not guilty. Then the sentencing is the punishment.
Okay. So the three levels. So in Rosh Hashanah, the negativity, there is source, there is an angel that is in charge of all the negativity. And it's all registered. Like, we know that everything is registered somewhere, right? There is a recording of something. of all our actions, all our thoughts, everything is recorded. So he's coming with these lists and he's claiming to each person. We don't see it because some people going to the beach in Rosh Hashanah, they don't feel anything, right? They don't feel what's going on. Okay, also when we sleep, it's the same thing, right? Our body doesn't feel anything.
Yeah, sleep is a mini Rosh Hashanah for the day, right?
Right. Sleep and death is the biggest day of judgment. It's the judgment, but we're not physically here. In Rosh Hashanah, it's the same thing, but we are physically here. And the reason this judgment is happening internally. This is what's happening. So this is the big, but what is the purpose? Because if you want that some people feel you, you need to show them that you're there, which means that if they do something wrong, you are there to tell them you did something wrong. I can see you.
Yeah, the boss, needs to come to the office.
Exactly. The boss is coming to the office and is coming and I am here. Don't think this is the day that the boss is coming in. Rosh Hashanah, the day of judgment. So now they close the door and they come with all the list of things that we did wrong. Okay, in all the levels. So this is what's happening. I mean, we're not aware of it, but after this day, there is like a kind of, there is a verdict and a sentence eventually, okay? I mean, there is another process, the Yom Kippur and the Sukkot, the Simchat Torah, but it's another conversation. Now, the major part is happening in Rosh Hashanah. So what's happening is that why there is all this judgment? Because the Creator wants us to feel Him, right? He wants to say the boss is here. That's what it means. So He needs, imagine that there will not be any judgment. People do whatever they want. As long as they find ways that no one will catch them, you know, people will not find you guilty, but you will be able to continue to selfishly, you know, like enjoy the destruction of the people around you. Who cares? As long as you enjoy it, it's fine. Who cares that the people, you put the people down, you're enjoying, you're putting in many ways and you get all the benefits, okay? This is what happened, but eventually that has to be an intervention. So basically what it is, everyone is afraid from the day of judgment. Imagine that you're truly in front of a judge and he's going to decide if it's going to be death penalty, God forbid, if it's going to be like being beaten physically or, you know, like who knows what, you know, that's happening. And that day, you truly being judged. If you feel it, you'll be afraid. All the fears that we're going to have during the year, all the fear, you know, during the year, we have a lot of fears. I'm afraid that my wife will do this. I'm afraid that my friend will reveal my secret. I'm afraid that I will lose this client. I'm afraid that my health is not good. I'm afraid that there's so many fears. We are suffering from fears all year long, right? All these fears are the small, the results of Rosh Hashanah, all of them. Because the big fear, it's to fear that the boss is coming. So what's happening now, there is a small fears. It's like, you know, the story of Haggadiah. You remember that, I don't know if you know the translation of it. You say that a calf, not a Haggadiah, it's a small goat. A goat, okay, was bought from with whatever the amount of money. And then
the point is eventually it gets back to the source, the source, yeah, of the judgment.
Because the cat will eat the goat, the dog will eat the cat, the dog will be beaten by the stick, and the stick will be burned by the fire, and the fire will be extended by the water, and then the water will be drink by a cow. And then a man that's slaughtering cows will cut the cow. And then the person that slaughtered the cow will be killed by the angel of death. And then God is going to kill the angel of death. But what it really means that we always, the cat is afraid from the dog, and the dog is afraid from the stick, and the stick is afraid from the fire, etc. We all have different fears, but all of this is to create one fear. The fear of God. But what do you mean the fear of God? Not the fear. The fear of God, it's the wrong translation. We feel his existence, so we're afraid. But the truth is, when we understand that actually we want his presence, we want his the presence of the source, so then there is no fears. The other way around, it's love, right? It goes together. It's awe. It's love and awe together. Appreciation and love. Always love, it's appreciation and love together. And you feel this this amount of energy. So
there's two things, because I want to make it practical here. One is we have to say, well, what is happening when people hear the shofar? But number two, I think that we were talking about this before the session. How do we get the audience to feel this concept? And I was thinking, the best I can think of is when you take Kabbalah 1 or you start on your journey, there's this feeling people have that no matter what pain they're going through in their life, they still feel good. They still see that it's going to be good, that they're not worrying. And I've had so many people tell me, you know, if I didn't have Kabbalah, I would be freaking out right now. I would be suicidal. I would be depressed. She's like, but no, actually, with all that I'm going on, I'm going through a tax audit, I'm going through a lawsuit, I'm going through a divorce, I'm going through this pain, that pain, I feel everything's going to be okay. And they can't explain what they're feeling. But is it true that this feeling is a little bit, they feel like they're with the light, so they're not worried about divorce, lawsuit, health issue, money issue, even though there are problems. They're at this level where they feel the creator in a way that it's removing the fear of the problem.
Absolutely. And because you are happy inside, the solution for the problems
then also is revealed.
And the fulfillment come faster.
It's also revealed. Yes. Because I think this is the thing. Remember, why do we say pause, don't react to the problem? Because then we're all day long fighting fires. But if we connect to this feeling that's available on Rosh Hashanah, this consciousness, it's a consciousness, then you see, you're the CEO, you see the whole playing field. Because the CEO, I've seen this so many times. You get into a room and everyone's talking about how what to do, how to achieve a goal. And everyone's like, well, there's this problem and there's that problem and there's all these problems. And when you listen to them, you're like, you're right. Everyone's right. So we can't move forward. Let's just close the company up and be done with it. Because everyone has a good reason why something can't happen or a fear of why we shouldn't do something. But the CEO comes in and says, this is what we're going to do. And he says it in 5 seconds. And then everybody moves forward and there's a miracle.
Yeah. And, you know, this is what we're saying in the beginning, that we don't have solution. We cannot change this harsh judgment, but the creator can. If we are with the creator, things change. This truly change internally first and then externally. But now, just to complete, I need to complete this thing because the point was not complete, actually. The point is that the creator never intended to create anything negative. And if we understand that, so then we remove the judgment. This is why it says that Rabbi Shimon lo haya mekabel tkiyat adam she'eno chacham litkua bekavana besod tkiyah. He will not accept a person that was not wise enough, had the wisdom from the fourth level, to blow the shofar with the intention, with the secrets of the tkiyah. He need to know the secrets. And what is the secrets that we're talking about? The secret is that the creator just do good. There is not even a spark of negativity. No, this disconnection is just to give us the ability to say, God, here, this is the gift that I'm giving you. I choose to be with you. I choose to, that's the whole point, that I'm disconnected and I'm choosing it. So the choice that I want to cleave to the creator, to the source, whatever the source is, the creator, to Bereshit, Aleph Bet Tishrei, the point is that there is, why I'm judging myself, or judging other people, or I'm judging the world, or I'm judging governments, or whatever it is, all this judgment is because, yes, I want to punish that person, that to revenge, that he will learn his lesson, that he will not do it anymore, that other people will not do it, they will learn from it. Okay, yes, it's all nice explanation. But if we come to that explanation, which is the secrets of Kabbalah, we don't need to grow to judgment. It says that when we have the Zohar, when we reach Bina, Tshuva, Ima, Ilah, the Zohar saying, We don't need tests. We don't need because the whole point was really to just connect with the light. That's it.
So Eliyahu, the day of Rosh Hashanah, if people have to focus on one consciousness and to maybe say it even out loud as a mantra to reach this consciousness, what would be the one thing we all could do for 48 hours to make maximum connection?
Bypass all what you think about yourself, about the world, about the possibility. Yes, I cannot change this and I cannot change that and I cannot change the relationship and I cannot change the world and whatever it is. Bypass all of that and understand that the whole point that the Creator is here right now, the boss is coming and you're happy he's coming. And you want to be with him. So one word is cleave. Bypass. Yes, but I'm not worthy. I'm worthy. I did good. I did bad. Don't think about the good. It's just like connect. That's really what the Creator wants. He wants us just, he disconnect us. Even the disconnection, the short circuit that I did, it is for one purpose, right? To a fear. But what this fear will give me eventually? The fear of the light. Which means to understand that the Creator doing everything. I want to connect with the source. No matter what, it's beyond my judgment, my calculation. In Hebrew, to think is lachshov. It's come from the word judgment or cheshbonot, calculation. All our calculations are based on limitation. So you were saying about the CEO, but we're going, you know, like, so really what the shofar is, because we don't have much time. The shofar, we talked about it before when, as you share, yes, the shofar, it's to bring the central column, which is divine energy that transform the negativity, positivity, from negativity to love. And we have to be disconnected. And the Zohar gives the analogy of Jacob, I don't know if you know the story in the Bible, that Isaac, which represents judgment, because Abraham is mercy, Isaac is judgment, and central column the part that neutralizes that
combines the two, yeah. It creates the circuit
between the two. It's Jacob. Okay, so Isaac wanted to bless Esau, which is a negative person, and if he will, the whole world will be destroyed. Right? It's like giving the power, giving the torch and the power, the kingdom to someone that his intention is destruction, okay? Which with destruction, you get some good results eventually. Yes, the destruction. So this was Isaac. Isaac wanted to destroy the world by giving the blessing to Esau. Then what happened? Jacob now is in a deep problem because he's a righteous guy and he's listening to his father that was his teacher, was a patriarch. Yes, it's not a normal person. Now he needs to listen to his father. But then his mother telling him, no, you cannot, you have to go and lie to your father, tell him that you are Esau and to get a blessing. And he got the blessing from Esau, lying from Isaac, lying, like pretending that he is Esau, his twin brother. The point is that how Jacob is in a situation where he is now alone. Yeah, you know, the easiest thing is to follow my teacher, to follow my instruction, the rules, whatever it is. Now I am by myself. I need to decide. Jacob needed to decide what to do. And he was disconnected. And he decided to take the blessing. Because truly, Isaac wanted to give the blessing to Jacob. Really, God wants us to have the blessing. He doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want to revenge. He doesn't want us to go through all the hardship. In a 1 second, all what we need to do, it's just to decide, go to Isaac and get the blessing, which is what we do the shofar. So the shofar, what is the shofar? Well, some people don't know. It's the horn. We use the horn and we blow the horn, basically. It's the sound of a horn. That there is a special sound. There is one long sound and cut sounds. The cut sounds represent when it's cut. I mean, there is space. It's like there is space between people, right? One person to another, there is a space between them. I can do what I want, and you can do what you want. There is a space between us. But in the human body, there is no space between the organs, right? So the cat voice represents the space, the disconnection. But what we do, we have one long sound in the beginning and one long sound in the end that represent the world above time, space, and motion, where there is no space.
It represents it represents that fourth level, the world of Atzilut.
That's right. That there was no space before, and there will not be space after. The truth with the space that we experience here, it's an illusion. What I mean, if you use a telescope, you see perfection. You use a microscope, you see perfection. When you open your eyes, you see imperfection, chaos. Right? It's amazing, right? It's like, but does that mean that there is no order here? There is, but you don't see it because you just see fragmented part of reality. So to see the secrets, to see beyond the limitation, beyond the cut voice, this is what we do. And what it is basically to give us the certainty. This is when you get the shofar, you get the certainty that God loves you. And God is capable to change everything, the harsh judgment possible. Everything can be changed. Now, if you say it, but last year I heard it and my life didn't change completely, right? You can say that too. Some people heard the shofar last year. How come my life didn't change? Well, where is the answer? Yes? So it will be for another session, maybe not in this format, but we can talk about it because there is level in general. The idea is that when you build the nefesh, the first level, till you need to build your certainty. It's like a puzzle. When you build this puzzle, then it works immediately. And this is what the Zohar meant when I read the Zohar.
So sometimes you need a couple Rosh Hashanahs to build your certainty, to get to a certain certainty, and then it works all the time.
That's right. Which means that first of all, it does work, but you cannot see it, you know, like because you built part of the puzzle. Uh-huh. When a person reaches the ruach, the level beyond, that's it. You already see it. Then you don't have a choice anymore because you know how the universe works. So the Creator wants us to get to that level. This is why I was saying in the beginning that we are about to have a breakthrough, that we will be able to show results. Because, you know, people want to build their body. So they look at Schwarzenegger and they're saying, okay, this guy is a role model for me. So give me the role model here. Role model, you see a Kabbalist sitting with a beard. It doesn't look so good. It's like, where is the results? But we know that it's not external, it's inside. So today we come to a level where we start to feel what it means. What is this paradise that exists inside of us? See?
I want to summarize some of the points. Number one is, I think the theme of what we talked about today, and it's a hard theme to express, it's feeling. It's, I know what I've learned here in the Kabbalah Center is when I'm going through a tough time and I sit in silence and I talk to the Creator and I ask for help, what I've learned to ask for is the I say, Creator, give me the secrets of why I'm going through what I'm going through. Reveal to me the wisdom of why I'm going, because as soon as I see that, then all the fear is gone. Instead of dealing with the problem and trying to fix the problem, which is on a symptom level, let's desire this wisdom of the Creator, the divikut, the cleaving. And that's what we should pray for. So this is what I got from it. And on the day of Rosh Hashanah...
But the word bypass is very important. Bypass.
Bypass
the normal thoughts.
I'm sorry?
Bypass. Don't go through the process. I will bypass. You can... This is the opportunity. And this is to bypass and to get to Dvikut. Bypass.
And so on Rosh Hashanah, that's the leap. On Rosh Hashanah, everything kind of starts over. So you can start wherever you want, whatever level you want. You don't have to start from the bottom. And so on Rosh Hashanah, what I'm going to be asking for is, I want to, tell me if this is correct, I want to bypass or completely let go whatever belief systems process tikkun I had. And I want the fourth level now, even if I don't deserve it, even if I don't earn it, even if it's total bread of shame, because we have belief systems, right?
I'm not a tzaddik. I'm not a Kabbalist. I'm not doing, whatever it is. Right. My life is whatever.
We're going to have rationalization. Oh, but isn't it bread of shame to get the fourth level right away? Don't worry about that either. Just, and that's the shofar, which is, it's the certainty that the Creator loves me, because I think we all have negative belief systems about how the Creator views us as well. So I think it's a very powerful thing. I know it's hard to grasp.
But another thing to add to it, because... It's important to say, when we come to Rosh Hashanah, because a lot of us are going to be a few thousand people, we're going to be together, right? right, with Michael, and we'll have this, like, we all, this, it's like we gathered from all over the world. So imagine the consciousness, because why we are all over the world? Because it's, we want to cover the quantum. Now, what's happening in that moment when we're there, we need to act like we are. We are like representative of the 8 billion people towards the Creator. Maybe there is other people that are doing it too. I'm not saying that we are the only one, but we are definitely doing it as well. We're coming in front of the Creator, and we are removing the judgment and the chaos from the world. We want to do it. We want to, like, you pretend that you're a tzaddik. You don't pretend. We are already. We just need to reveal, right? So we're saying to yourself, it's the truth. We are part of humanity, and we're doing it for all humanity. And because we're removing the judgment from all humanity, obviously, from our own lives, it's going to be removed as well. But we are capable in this way, this day, to activate the Creator. So therefore, we can change it. We cannot change anything, but the Creator can. The Creator is capable. So we connect to the Creator, and we're changing for the world. So we come together, we team up to remove negativity and judgment from the world. Bypass whatever judgment, I'm not righteous, I'm this, I'm not this. It doesn't matter. We come, we connect, we remove, we have the Vikut in that days, and the sound of the shofar with many, many other kavanot and secrets, etc. Some of us know more than others, but it doesn't matter. We're all together.
Amazing. Thank you, Eliyahu. Thank you, everyone. We will see you soon.